Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, we are just a little over halfway through our season of Awaken. And I've been really enjoyed getting to have conversations with those of you who stop and talk to me about what you're reading and what you're praying about. And that encourages me. And I know that God is encouraging you. But we're a little over halfway through. Some of you are just having a great experience. This has been a really good thing. You're staying on task. You're praying for your eight people. Your fast is going well. And I'm really, really thankful for that. Some of you are having a little bit of a harder time with that. And you know what? God works on us in all kinds of different ways. He doesn't work on us in the same ways. And so if you're having a little bit more trouble with that, I'm going to encourage you today to rededicate yourself and finish Awaken strong. Because what we are asking God to do is to wake us up and to wake up folks in this city to a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. So what I want to think about this morning before Wendell comes back up here is some of you, I want you to think about when you were a kid, how your mama or your daddy woke you up. See, some of you have a smile on your face right now, and some of you have a scowl on your face remembering it. That was not the most pleasant part of the day, probably, for some of you. Some of you probably had a sweet, sweet mama who would come in, and she would wipe your head and rub your hair through your finger, rub her fingers through your hair, and she would rub your back, and she'd say, "Oh, honey, wake up. Good morning. I love you so much." Most of you don't look like you had that kind of mama, the way you're shaking your head. See, some of you had a mama or a daddy who'd come into that room, and what'd they do? They'd turn on that light, they'd pull back those curtains, and they'd jerk back the covers, and they would yell, "Get out of bed!" And then you'd fall back asleep, and they'd come back in 5 minutes, and they'd do it again, and they'd say, "And don't make me come back in here." Well, I don't know how you got woke up, but I'm praying that God will wake us up. And I'm thankful that you're participating in this season. So Wendell, come and continue to lead us in worship. There was a gentleman named Harry Winston. I don't know if that name means anything to you at all. It probably does not. Harry Winston is a man who in 1954 donated the Hope Diamond to the Smithsonian Institute. The Hope Diamond was one of the largest diamonds. It may be the largest diamond, I'm not sure, but one of the largest diamonds in the world at 45 carats, just a little bit bigger than the one that I gave Paula when we got married by about 45 carats. At the time, in 1954, it was valued at $300 million. If you did the inflation math, I don't even know what that would come to today. Very, very valuable treasure. And Harry Winston donated it to the Smithsonian Institute. And he did that by putting it in a plain vanilla envelope and wrote Smithsonian Institute on that plain brown envelope and put stamps to total $2.44 in postage, and he handed it to a mailman. And the mailman got it delivered to the Smithsonian Institute. And the Institute, the Smithsonian Museum, they still have that envelope. They kept the diamond as well, but they still have that envelope. And you can see where he wrote that, and you can see where all those stamps were put on there to total to $2.44. Now that is an incredible thing to put that kind of treasure in something so plain. They interviewed the mailman, who was the one who was handed the envelope, and he said he knew what it was. And he said that there was the two things just weighed on him. There was this incredible privilege that he was the one who was carrying this treasure. and this incredible fear that came over him because of the responsibility that he had to carry this treasure. And Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who is beauty and majesty and love and grace and every other incredible word that we could use to describe him. Jesus, this treasure, came to earth. And we could do a whole sermon on the fact that he came and put himself in a pretty plain envelope. But that's not the message today. The message is that Jesus, who is this treasure, and the message of his life and his death and his resurrection, which is this treasure, he's given that to you. He has given that treasure to you in your plain, brown, fragile envelope. Because you are the ones who have been given the incredible privilege and the incredible responsibility of carrying his treasure. Would you pray with me? Father, I do pray that as we have sung, that your Holy Spirit would be present with us this morning, would teach us, would convict us, would move us. And we thank you for the incredible treasure that Jesus is to each one of us, what he has done for us. And we thank you that you have entrusted that treasure to us so that others in the world would know. We pray to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus came on a rescue mission. That's why he came into the world. He came because humanity was lost and needed a Savior, needed a Redeemer, needed a King, needed a Lord. And he came because God loved us so much that he was willing to send Jesus, his treasure, into this dark and sinful world. And he came so that folks would be saved. He came so that folks would receive his mercy and receive his grace. He came so that he could cleanse us and cure us of the disease that is our sin and that was keeping us separated from God. He came to restore us and this world back to God our Father. That is who Jesus was, and that is what Jesus was doing. That is who Jesus is, and that is what Jesus is doing. And that brings us to Luke chapter 10. And we have been in Luke chapter 10 throughout this entire Awaken series. And in Luke chapter 10, we are seeing this commissioning where Jesus is taking this incredible treasure that is him and that is his message, that is the power of his gospel, this good news about who he is and what he's doing it, and he's wrapping it in us, these plain paper bags, and he is saying to us, you go and you carry this ahead of me, and you carry this into the world. And that, as I said, is an incredible privilege, and it is an incredible responsibility that Jesus has entrusted to us, this powerful, priceless treasure, and says, you go and you carry it. You're my messenger. And Jesus says, by the grace and the power that is his, we will be able to accomplish this task. We will be able to see this mission through. We will be able to carry this treasure. And so Luke 10, Jesus calls these carriers together. He gives them this treasure. He sends them out. And so I just want to review where we have been so far. We're beginning in verse 1 of chapter 10. And the very first two words say, after this. And that first week of Awaken, we stopped and analyzed those two words. Because after this means that some things have already happened. And what has already happened is that as these men and women have been following Jesus, they have been building a friendship with Jesus. And it has changed their life. They have been building an intimacy with the Son of God, and it has transformed their life. And it is out of that intimate relationship. It is out of that friendship that they have with Jesus. That's what he is. That's out of that is how he is sending them. And it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others. And you know what I love is? I love that we don't know a single one of their names. We don't know who they are. They're plain paper bags carrying this incredible treasure. We don't know their name, but we know his name. Because his name is the one that saves. His name is the one that matters. His name is the one that at the end, everyone will be praising. So he sends out 72 who talk about Jesus. He sent them ahead, or he sent them two by two ahead of him to every place and every town where he was about to go. And this is something else I love about this, because I love that Jesus promises us that we're not going to be alone. He wants us to go out with someone else, but even more than that, we're not going to be alone, because Jesus says, you know what? I'm coming after you. Where does he send them? He sends them to places that he is about to go. He sends them ahead of him. And here's what I know, and here's what I believe, that Jesus is doing the same with us as he has us praying for folks this month, and as he has us looking for opportunities to serve, as he has us going into Wichita Falls. Jesus is only sending us ahead of where he is about to go. Here's what I think that means. Jesus is coming to Wichita Falls. Jesus is coming to Wichita Falls. Jesus has got folks in Wichita Falls that he has been working on and that he wants to come to, and he wants to change their heart and he wants to transform their mind and he wants to save them. And he is sending us ahead of him, but promising, I'm coming right behind you. I'm just sending you ahead of where I am about to go. And then he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. But we're doing something about that, aren't we? Because we're doing what Jesus said. We're praying. And Jesus said, you pray for workers. And then the folks who are doing the praying find out that they are the answer to their own prayer. Because they're the ones that Jesus is going to send out. And that is what he is doing with us. And so I pray that it will not be true here that there are not enough workers to go out into the harvest that Jesus is preparing. That he is raising up a workforce among us. He is raising up disciples who are making disciples. Treasure transporters is what we are. We're carrying the gospel of Jesus. We're witnesses. And I've been praying for 2 solid years that God would do this, that he would raise up workers, that he would make disciples who are making disciples, and that we would be the answer to our own prayers, because we are the workers. We are the carriers that we read about in verse 3. He says, go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or a sandal, and don't greet anyone on the road. And when you enter a home, first say peace to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. And if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Jesus is just sending them. He's sending them out. He's sending them ahead. He's giving them the treasure. That treasure, it's in their hearts. It's in their minds. It's in their lives. They're the ones who are transporting it to the places he is about to go. They're preparing the way. And that makes me think of John the Baptist, because that was John the Baptist's specific mission, was he was supposed to prepare the way for Jesus. And we are doing the very same thing here today in Wichita Falls. We prepare the way. We go ahead. We prepare people. We prepare their hearts and minds with the words that we say, with the ways that we serve, with the way that we live our life, with our prayers. We prepare their hearts and minds to receive Jesus Christ when he comes to them. And he's coming to them. He's coming to everyone. He wants no one to perish. He wants everyone to follow him. And so for you, whether it is someone in your family, whether it is someone in your school, whether it's someone at work or on your team, wherever it is, whoever it is, Jesus is sending you ahead to prepare them. Your mission is to go and to go out in front of Jesus. And he says, heal the sick and preach that the kingdom of God is near. And I think that that is a message that we are supposed to still carry when we go out. We're supposed to heal the sick, and we're supposed to preach that Jesus is coming, that the kingdom of God is coming. Now, you may be a little uncomfortable with the heal the sick part because we don't normally do that kind of thing. But we can pray for that, can't we? Because we believe that God is still the God who heals the sick. He's still the God who has power over every illness and every disease. He is still God. And we can pray for God to heal. I think we probably don't see as much of it because we don't pray for very much of it. But I was having a conversation just this week with a man who is a Christian. And part of his story was that as a young man, he had had a pretty serious injury. And another man who was with him, who was talking to him about Jesus and being a model for him about Jesus, that man prayed for his healing and God brought the healing. And it's a part of his story with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what Jesus told them to do is what we still need to do. We still need to be out there praying for God to heal and minister to people and asking God to do that and being a part of God doing that and preaching this message that the kingdom is near. Jesus is very, very near. We need to use our words and we need to use our deeds. We need to tell it and we need to demonstrate it. One way I heard it is that we need to be about prayer, we need to be about care, and we need to be about share. We need to pray for people, we need to care for people, and we need to share the message of Jesus with people. It starts with prayer, and then we try to meet their needs, and then we find a way to talk about Jesus to them. And then Jesus kind of gets heavy, if that hasn't felt heavy enough. Jesus kind of gets heavy, and I want us to feel the weight of what Jesus talks about here. Because he says, when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. But be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. And then he says, I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of Sodom than for that town. Now, do you remember what happened to Sodom? If you don't, you need to go look it up. And we need to feel the weight of what Jesus is saying here. We need to feel the urgency of what Jesus is saying here. Because this is serious business and the stakes are incredibly high. Because this is the mission that Jesus came to earth for, and this is the mission that he has called us to be the church for. It is the mission he is sending us out for. We don't get to decide on the mission. We don't get to decide on the parameters of the mission. We don't get to decide who the mission's for and who the mission's not for. Jesus is the one who gets to decide all that. We don't even get to decide the outcome. Jesus is the one who decides that. Oh, we're the ones who are carrying the treasure. We're part of the transport system of the mission, making sure that the message is scattered and gets out and that people know that Jesus is near, that the kingdom of God is near. And we share that. We absolutely must share that because Jesus says that a day is going to come where the people who have rejected that, it's going to be worse for them than it was for the folks in Sodom. There's a passage in James that weighs heavy on me. And it says, not many of you should want to be teachers because you're just going to be held to a higher accounting. And I love you so much. And I wish with all my heart that I could be the preacher who stands up here and talks to you about fun things and talks to you about how church should be fun. And it should be, and it is when we're walking with Jesus. But Jesus has given us a mission. He has given us a task. And the eternal consequences for us and for the people in our city are huge. And that's the message that I've got to preach to you and anyone who will listen. Because people's lives are in the balance. Our life is in the balance. Our loved ones' lives are in the balance. Our friends' lives are in the balance. And I'm not trying to shame you or guilt you, but I am trying to get you to feel the responsibility and the privilege that Jesus has put on you. The privilege and the responsibility that when you are with a friend who is stuck in sin, that I know the far easier thing to do is to avoid the awkwardness of the conversation. But the privilege and the responsibility Jesus has given us is to step into that and to speak into that for their eternity's sake. Or if you've got a family member, there is a privilege and a responsibility that He has given you when you are with that member of your family who is running away from God, to speak into that and to let them know that Jesus and His kingdom are very, very near. And it takes courage. It takes conviction. It takes a power that is outside of us, but that God has given us to complete this mission that Jesus has given us, to carry this treasure that will change the eternal destiny of people's lives. There's an urgency about the mission that Jesus came on, and there's an urgency about the mission that He is sending us out on. And one day, every single person who has ever lived is going to stand before God as their judge. Do you believe that? Every single person is going to stand before God as their judge. And the only hope that any of us have is that through the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be cleansed of our sins because we are covered in His blood, and He will be our advocate before the Father and speak on our behalf. It is the only hope that any of us in this room have. It is the only hope that any of you who are watching have. It is the only hope that anyone in our city has. And I don't know what that will be like, but I cannot imagine someone who I know and love. I can't imagine someone whose path God allowed me to cross would stand before God without Christ and would look at me and say, "Why did you not tell me about Jesus? Why did you not tell me about this?" Folks, Jesus is sending us on a mission into this city. We've been a great missionary church, and we've sent people all over the world, but Jesus is sending us into this city because He has people here who are lost and He wants to save them. He has people here who are without Him in their life and He wants to be in their life. He has people here who are friendless and He wants to be their friend. But the way the mission works is He has given you and me the treasure. And He has stamped it with His blood, far worth more than $2.44. And He said, "I want you to go carry it because I'm coming. I'm going to be coming behind you. I'm at work. I'm already working ahead of you. The Holy Spirit is already at work ahead of you. I've already experienced that in the lives of some people I've been praying about. Some of you have already experienced that in the lives of some people you've been praying about. If you haven't, keep on praying, because God is always working. He's working ahead of us, and He's preparing hearts, and He's preparing the ground. And He says, I want you to go. And He says, I'm going to be coming along right behind you, because I want to save that person, because I want to know that person, because I want to heal that person, because I want to help that person, because I want to love that person. We are a part of the mission of Jesus. The most loving thing you can ever do for someone is to carry the treasure into their life. That's our job. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict them. It's Jesus' job to change their heart. God's job to save them. See, we don't have to take their jobs, but we absolutely must not give up our job. Yeah, I've told you often how much I love you and how much I love this church. But I'll be honest, I haven't always loved our city. I haven't always loved Wichita Falls. But God's changed that in my life. He has given me a love. He has increased my love for this city. So much so that I want everyone in this city to know Him. I want everyone in this city to follow Him. I want everyone in this city to have the opportunity to meet and be changed by Jesus. And my prayer is that it will be almost impossible to get to hell from Wichita Falls. And we've all started praying for 8 people. And we're praying for our city beyond that. But we're praying specifically for 8 people. And Welch Street has joined us in that. My prayer is that next year, we're going to invite more and more churches to be a part of this. And we're going to cover this city. My prayer is that next year, every single person who lives in Wichita Falls will be prayed for by name for a month. By God's people in this city who are carrying the treasure, who are carrying the message. My prayer is that every single person who is far from God would come near. Every single person who is in any way seeking and searching for God would find Him. That every person who is running from God would run into someone like you and me who already knows Him. And that everywhere they turn to run, they'd find somebody else who wants to talk to them about Jesus. I heard a story from another city who has done Awaken. And one of their members said he got into an Uber or a Lyft. I don't remember which one it was. But he got into one of those, got into the vehicle, and he was part of Awaken. He was praying for people. He was looking for opportunities. And so he started up a conversation, and he asked the man who was driving if he could pray for him. And the man turned around and looked at him. He said, I don't know what is going on today, but you're the third person who's got in my car who wants to pray for me. That's what I want for Wichita Falls. And we're the ones who've been called to do it. We're the ones who've been commissioned to go to carry this treasure that is Jesus into the world. And yeah, we're just plain paper envelopes. There's nothing special about you or me. What's special is what we carry. And there's power in what we carry. A lot of people's lives are changed because of what we carry. So I just pray for God to do it here and make it so here. And this weekend is the midpoint of our season in prayer and fasting. And in a couple of weeks, Awaken's going to be over, but our mission isn't going to be over. Because He's given us this incredible mission to be used by God to prepare the way for Jesus and to announce the coming kingdom. And I'm just praying for us that we will be a Spirit-filled, joy-filled, bold church. And every month as we fast, I'm praying that God would fill us with His Spirit and give us life so that everyone would know that He is God. And I'm praying that you will become the most incredible, efficient, productive transport system that this city has ever seen. And so I'd like you to stand. And I would like you to join me in just a time of response and a time of prayer. I'm going to say some things out loud. I'm pretty sure that they're going to be on the screen as well. But I want to ask you to just, on your own for a few minutes, pray about these prayer prompts that I'm going to give you. And the first is just, I want you to ask Jesus, would you show me anything in my life that is keeping me from living in close friendship with you? Just take some time to pray about that. And it may be a sin that's keeping you from friendship with Jesus. Maybe a habit that you're in. Maybe a relationship that's moving you further from Jesus and not closer to Him. As God has maybe brought some words to you or some images to you, I want you to take the next step in that prayer and ask Him to remove anything in your life that's keeping you from living in close friendship with Jesus. And don't be afraid of praying that prayer, because He's a good Father. And then I'd like you to just ask Him, Jesus, would you show me two or three people in my life who are far from you? They may be some of the eight that you've been praying for. Remember those names and those faces as you go out this week. Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for being able at this moment to communicate with every single one of us intimately and individually. Thank you for, through your Spirit being so at work in our life, that you can speak to our spirits. Father, we want to be close to you, and we want others around us to be close to you. Thank you for sending us on this mission. I pray for opportunities this week to prayer, pray for folks, to show care to folks, and to share with folks this incredible treasure that you have given us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've spent a few minutes praying. I want to give you an opportunity to respond this morning. And I'm going to ask you that if you personally are ready to take some kind of step toward accepting the mission and the assignment that Jesus has given us, that we have talked about this morning, if you're ready to take some kind of step toward going into our city, I would like you to come up here to the front this morning. And I don't want you to come up if you really aren't ready to take that step. But if you are ready this morning to say, you know what, I'm going to be on this mission with Jesus. I'm going to carry this treasure. I want you to come up to the front because we're going to pray for you. God bless you. If you've got friends or neighbors or coworkers or family members that you're ready, I want to take a step. I want to do what Jesus has commissioned me to do and share this. I want you to come up this morning. We're going to pray for you. If you're willing, but you're scared to death, I want you to come up here this morning. If you're willing, but you just honestly don't know how in the world I'm going to do this, I want you to come up here this morning. Over the last few weeks, we've been training some people to lead some discipleship groups. We're calling them D groups. These are just going to be groups that are going to help people learn to trust and follow Jesus. They're going to be groups that are going to help us learn how to be disciples, who are making disciples, who are groups that are just going to help us figure out how we can carry this message. And so if you're up here this morning, or even if you didn't come up here this morning, and you think, you know what, I want to be a part of one of those groups. I want to learn about this. I want to learn how to do this. I want to be a disciple who's making disciples. I want you to take out your phone right now, and I want you to text me. You can do it right now. Just say, my number is 447-4145. Just say, Ken, I want to be a part of a discipleship group. We've got leaders who are trained. And we'll make sure that you get in a group. And if we have more folks than we can fit into those groups, then we will just train some more leaders. But we're serious about this. We want to go do this in our city. And I thank you for taking a step this morning. And I want to pray for you. And then we can be seated. And Wendell will lead us in a song. Father, I thank you for these folks who have taken a step this morning. I hear my phone going off, and I'm thankful for that, Lord. And I pray that you would encourage us in this, that you would strengthen us in this, that you would empower us in this, Lord, because I believe with all my heart that this is what you have called us to be and to do. This is our reason for being your church, because you saved us and you got others you want to save. And so for every person who is here, Lord, I pray for power and I pray for courage and I pray for dedication. I pray for endurance. I pray, Father, for the Holy Spirit to be present and powerful. I pray for words that you would give them, Lord, as you create intersections this week between them and people around them. I pray for opportunities to just show other people love and care. I pray for opportunities to meet physical needs. I pray for opportunities to pray over people. I pray for opportunities just to speak the name of Jesus. Father, I have said it this morning, I believe it, and I am trusting you that you literally are going to send your Spirit ahead of this group of people this week. And you're going to be at work in other people's lives that you are drawing to you. And you're going to put them in the right place and at the right time. And I pray for people of peace, Lord, who are ready to hear. There's also going to be people who are going to walk away. And I pray that there are others who are going to be speaking into their life as well. But just, Father, we want to be faithful to do this because we believe that you are coming behind us. You've said you will, and we believe it, Father, that you're coming behind us because you're here to save and you're here to bless. And you're here to show your love and to show your grace. And we just want to go ahead of you and prepare the way. And so I thank you for these people, and I pray your blessings on them. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll look up at the screen, not just for these folks, but for everybody, I want you to repeat after me. Is there something on the screen that's coming up? All right. I want you to repeat this after me. We are loved by God. We are sent by God to show those around us, to tell those around us that they are loved by God. God bless you this morning.